raising the speed limit on the information superhighway. TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com.
Now more of the Wild About Pets radio show on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Susan Frank.
Welcome back to the show and our discussion with our guests, Diana Henry and Dee Sava. You're listening to the Wild About Pets radio show on TalkZone.com. We are looking at photos of some of the animals that we're going to be discussing, and you can do this by clicking on the Look While You Listen purple button, either on the Talk Zone page, you know, with our show episode, or on my website, wildaboutpets.net. That would be the Look While You Listen, if you'd like to see some of the photographs. So here, getting back to, we've got a picture of a black and white cat whose name is Woody. And this cat appears to have some clothing on. Now, I surmise that the people that own Woody were not just trying to make him look cute and dress him up. There must be some story behind this and some reason why Woody has some clothing on this. Dee, could you tell us about that?
Absolutely right. It was very purposeful. The story is Pop Goes Woody the Cat, submitted by Carrie Luce. Woody was too sensitive to touch. He even had difficulty walking on grass, which is unusual for a cat. So his owners put heavy clothing on him, which provides deep pressure. Deep pressure can be very calming. They also developed a whole protocol where they rubbed his tummy firmly. Again, it was deeper pressure while he was on his back. And then they held him up about 2 to 3 feet in the air and just plopped him on the grass. And when they plopped him, he got input into his muscles, which also helped organize him.
Okay, so obviously, was that just some clothing that they had themselves around the house? Or are there special different kind of wraps or articles that people could get for their pets that, you know, will give some of that deep pressure?
That's a great question. There are certain wraps called anxiety wraps. There are body wraps, and those are similar to some techniques that we use with people. And we have in our resources section something, a website for anxiety wraps and the body wrap.
All right, and speaking of resources, everyone, I also, on the Look While You Listen pages for the show topic, will be recording a lot of the resources that you hear that our guests will talk about. So it's as if you don't have to take notes. You will find those resources not only in their book, if you, you know, obtain their book, but you also find some of the resources that we specifically talk about here on the show on the Look While You Listen page. So if you don't have clothing, on picture number two, here we have Woody again, and I notice the picture, it seems to be Woody's all wrapped up. Is this an easy technique that anyone can do at home if they need to calm their animal?
Yes. Actually, the owners did several different techniques, but I was just describing it. There are more in the story. But another one is just wrapping him in a towel, or which the warmth, you know, is very calming as well. But she has her hand on him, so just kind of pressing, you know, providing some pressure while he's wrapped, all that provides calming sensations.
All right. Also, there's another photo of a dog named Sam, who also probably comes under our too sensitive or over-responsive category. What was the story with Sam?
Well, Sam has an oversensitivity to noises. He was afraid of even impending electrical storms, any kind of loud noises. And what his owner is doing, there's a specialized technique called joint compressions. And that technique is actually in several stories. And it's pushing into the joints, but it's a specialized technique. The owner is an occupational therapist, so she knows how to do it. So that also is very calming and organizing.
So may I jump in there, too, to just explain something to the listeners that, if, as you notice, Dee mentioned that Sam was sensitive to sound, and yet the sensory input that is being given is this depressure and this joint compression. And what is fun about sensory integration is that you can use one sensory system to override the oversensitivity of another, such as using deep pressure or this joint compression to override that sensory sensitivity to sound.
So it sounds like the deep pressure is easy to do at home, either with clothing or with, you know, some wrapping up. We'll see later on some photos, some other ways to give deep pressure. But it sounds like the joint compression might require some training. Is there anywhere that people can go and talk to anyone if they wanted to learn about joint compression?
Yes, they can check with their occupational therapist, who has specialized training in this sensory, in these sensory techniques, and they can find out from them how to actually do this deep pressure with people, and then of course adapt it to their animals.
Okay, well that's great.
Oh, can I say one thing? I'm sorry. This is, I agree with Diana, and there also are in our book and in the back section of the book are stories from people who are trained in canine massage, animal, you know, Reiki that they use for animals. And there are things, techniques called Tellington T-Touch. There's, you know, healing touch. So those are techniques designed, you know, developed for animals, horses, dogs, cats, that are the same, you know, similar concept. And people can receive, you know, anyone, the general public can receive training too on geared toward animals.
All right, great. Well, thank you for explaining that. And that's, you don't want to just try joint compression on your own. You know, if you would like to ask our guests a question, our phone lines are open. That number is 888-463-6748. And if you like the words, that's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or the numbers, again, are 888-463-6748. We are taking your calls on Talk Zone. In fact, I have Leslie from Lake Zurich on the line right now. Leslie, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead with your question for our guests, Leslie.
I have a question. I have a 12-year-old cat. He's a mama's boy, and he plays really well, but then sometimes he turns into Psycho Kitty when we're playing, and he gets very aggressive, and he hisses, and he snarls, and if I stop playing, he'll kind of attack my ankles, attack my hands, anything he can get to.
Yeah, that could possibly be related to different things. Is that the only time, you know, if that's maybe the only time he does it, sometimes a buildup of static electricity can cause that behavior.
Oh.
And cats, I've heard that cats are more sensitive to static electricity buildup. So that might not be a sensory processing, like a disorder issue, but something that would be common. So it would be, you know, possibly if you saw behaviors at other times as well that interfere with the cat's functioning.
Well, and the only reason why I thought it might be sensory is because sometimes if we're cuddling, and he's very calm, and then all of a sudden he goes to claw at me.
Right. Now, some children and adults have what we call sort of a low threshold, which means that they can tolerate a certain amount of input and everything is fine, and then all of a sudden their system overloads and it's just too much. So you may want to see if, when you're doing the calming strategy or you're snuggling, do it for a little bit, but then kind of let go, let him, let your cat be the leader on it. They, you know, some people need a little bit more space, some people need a certain amount more than others, and some people need less than others. And I think cats have that tendency to know exactly how much they need, and then up, that's enough. You know, they go away.
Right. And I try to go away, but, you know, when he gets that aggressive, it's like he wants to fight. he doesn't stop, and he'll chase me, and like I said, he'll bite my ankles, and, you know, I'll tell him no, and I'll, you know, move him. And that's why I thought it was oversensory. But then he doesn't, it's almost like that's playing for him, but it's very aggressive.
Yeah, and I wonder, and we have some stories in our book, too, like that, where if he gave him a substitute for your ankle, a chew toy, something, you know, that he could take his aggression out on.
Right.
That would be safer, just replacing the strategy.
Right. Right. And from a sensory perspective, what that would mean is that you're giving him the opportunity to get additional sensation into the muscles, tendons, and joints in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So playing tug of war, getting him to chew, as Dee says, can often take care of giving him the input that he needs in order to calm down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, well, great. Thank you so much for your call, Leslie. And you'll you'll probably hear some more techniques as we go along. Well, let's take another call right now. We have Mark from Chicago. Welcome, Mark.
Susan. Hi. What a great show.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. So what question do you have for our guest today?
Well, Deanna, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that has a number of cats in her home, and on occasion she has to give them pills, and she's very challenged by that. That seems to be an impossible thing to happen, and I heard about the show and talked to her about that this morning and told her I would make this call for her. Maybe you could give me some insight on that.
Mm-hmm. I think we do have some stories to that effect, too. Sometimes what some owners have done is wrap the pet in a towel just to mm-hmm. provide the calming, and then once they're calm, try to give them the pill. But the idea is to calm them down first. Diana, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, no, that's actually what I was going to say. Yes, the thing is to try to find out why it is that they don't like it. They may not be comfortable with the smell, the taste, the mm-hmm. you know, the different texture, depending on you know, sometimes you have to put it down their throat. I'm not sure how your friend is trying to give the pill to the cat.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's tried that. She's tried they don't eat canned food. They only eat dry food. They just absolutely won't have anything to do with it. Not only that, when you have multiple cats, how do you give one a pill if it's in the food?
Right. Unless you feed them in separate rooms, that's the only way you could do it.
Yeah,
that can be tricky. But the idea of that deep pressure, which can be calming, that wrapping them, like swaddling them like a baby, yes, seems to be a good technique. Well, thank you so much for your question, Mark.
You bet. Thank you.
Before we take a couple more calls, let's move a little bit along. Now, ladies, are there some pets that people might have besides dogs and cats that some of the deep pressure techniques may work with? Are there any stories about other kind of animals, pets?
Well, I have a story, which is also in our book, about Piglet, and it's down on the pictures. Let me see so I can tell you what number to go down to, scroll down to. It's on number 15 in the picture. So if you scroll down, you'll see a picture of a black pig, Piglet, and then my friend and colleague, Lois Hickman, who owns a farm in Colorado, and it is a farm as well as a place where she sees children with autism. And she's combined the farm with giving the children an opportunity to handle animals and they're like handling the eggs of the chickens in a fashion that makes them use their muscles and their sense of touch very softly, because a lot of these children don't know how hard they're holding things. Excuse me. Anyway, on this farm she has this pig, and she was telling me that the piglet was very, very sensitive to touch and would cower away from the children and wouldn't like people to come near her. So she used a technique, which is basically using a brush, which she would brush him on a regular basis. We call this a sensory diet, where you use a multiple kinds of sensory strategies on a regular basis. Anyway, the sensory diet for this pig was being brushed every day, and that has an effect, also a calming effect. And what happened, the picture actually shows her brushing the pig, and she was telling me, I'm there bending over, and she says, look, Piglet no longer is afraid of touch or afraid of people, actually, look, Piglet is trying to give you a kiss.
I see. Okay, yes. And so, keep on going, ladies. I'm sorry.
I do have a story. There is a story about a parrot.
Okay.
And deep pressure, believe it or not.
And I believe, yes, it's an Amazon parrot. And if you go back up, if you are looking at our photographs, that is number 4, which shows you an Amazon parrot. Yes, in the book, tell us about Tucker.
Tucker was adopted by Karen Carroll, and she submitted the story. And she rescues adopted homeless parrots. So they're usually fearful of new people and places. So some of the techniques she used were wrapping the parrots. She wraps the parrots in a towel after a lukewarm bath. And, you know, the water isn't rushing on them. She sprinkles it on them so it's, you know, they can ease into it. She cradles and rocks them, strokes their head, and uses music and soft words. All of these are calming techniques. And again, in the story, she describes her experience in more detail with one parrot named Tucker.
Okay, well, thank you. You know, it is time to take a break again. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more stories and more questions from our listeners.